This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
The rookie kicker, Tyler Loop, will try to win it and send the Ravens to the playoffs.
The amount of work that has gone in from the offseason to the preseason to the regular season now comes down to one kick, where one team tomorrow will be packing up their lockers for the offseason as the other team will host a playoff game next week.
Tyler Loop made his only try tonight from 40. He is 30 of 33 on the season. He has not missed from inside 50 yards. This will be a 44-yard attempt. It will come from the middle of the field. Here's the snap, the spot. The kick is on the way. It is no good. He missed it. It's wide to the right, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have won the division. The Steelers are going to the playoffs. Tyler Loop missed it wide right, and the Steelers have won the game 26-24. Pittsburgh wins the AFC North. They will go to the playoffs.
What an unbelievable game.
I mean, how can you put into words just the thin line between if they make that kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on?
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
Good line for Mike Tomlin. He was feeling himself, and he's actually come under some fire for that. And this is going to surprise you, not from me. I got texts about it. I saw that one of the big Pitt insiders out there, Chris Dokish, I believe is his name, ridiculed Tomlin for his celebration after the game,
like the
beating his chest like King Kong and
thumping.
Then doing the kiss to the camera. Yeah,
really?
Not everybody liked that. This is what he said about it. Tomlin pounding his chest and blowing a kiss is why I don't like that guy. They easily could have lost because of his team's usual busted coverage, but he got bailed out, and he's acting like he did something.
Where did he tweet this?
By that logic, okay,
Chris? No, I'm trying to find this.
By that logic.
Yeah.
Should Bill Parcells have refused the Gatorade bath after Super Bowl 25?
Yes.
And said, no, get away from me. Norwood missed. We should have lost. What the hell did I do to win this game? Don't carry me off the field, damn it. Put my big tuna fat ass down and let me walk with my head held, hung low to the locker room.
I think you know how this goes. And forget about like Tomlin's lack of success. Obviously, in the playoffs lately. Just a lot of people now just do not like him. And so it's, if I like you as a player or coach, you are allowed to do X, Y, or Z. If I don't like you, you are not, and that's a bad thing. That's all. That's like tale as old as time. If Mike had won three Super Bowls in a row somehow coming into this and they were still trying to gun for a fourth and they still everything happens the way it did, people probably love it. There's Mike again. Somehow, some way, he's silencing the haters. But he's got more haters in Pittsburgh than he does anywhere else, and that's why that stuff's not going to go over well with
people.
I think
there were a lot of moments in this game where we saw the warts on Mike Tomlin's resume and his coaching facade and everything else, for sure. But I don't know, man. I'm just not in the mood. People can get on my case all they want. I do think he silenced some critics last night. I dubbed it this. If this were not a playoff game, but the closest a regular season game can be to a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff game adjacent, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Lately in those games, his team plays like crap. And it looked like they were going down that path after the opening drive of the game for the Ravens in the first offensive possession for the Steelers, where they came out and threw the ball three times and immediately punted it. So I thought we were going down that deep, dark path again. Here's a game where it has the ultimate stakes. You lose and your season's over. They win, they move on. And his team sacked up. And yeah, busted coverages. And yeah, play at the end of the first half. And yeah, some fourth down question marks. All true. But, you know, go pick out some other big games in either Steelers history or NFL history that came down to literally the last play. I bet the coaches in those games had some brain fart moments too. You don't need to like hand in your magnum opus as a coach in order for you to get credit for the win. He should get credit for this one. His team was resilient. They kept with it. They dealt with adverse circumstances, some of which created by their own, with like the DK Metcalf suspension. But they triumphed and came out on top.
His team was in a heavyweight fight. He likes to call them that. They got wobbled badly early. They collected and regathered themselves and played well. And Mike's capacity to motivate his players, which I think in any normal, healthy environment where you're talking about somebody who does what he does, would be seen as ultimately a good thing and a positive. His players want to play hard for him. His players aren't going to make business decisions like, which Steeler was it? Suggesting that the Ravens were making some business decisions tackling in the second half on Warren and Gainwell, that guys weren't really going hard after it as much as they should have. Like, Mike's capacity to get his guys to play hard and to not give in should be a positive. It has been twisted into a huge negative, the implication being he doesn't know schemes, he doesn't know defense, he doesn't know anything. All he's good at is rah-rahing these guys. And listen, I would like for Mike as a coach to be the ultimate tactician, to be flawless with his process on game management. The fact of the matter is, the other guy on the other sideline, who most people here, I think, broadly speaking, think is a better coach than Mike.
Although I don't think anymore, but
probably not
to.
Anymore, but for a very long time, he was held up as, I wish we had that guy, he's so much better. That guy, we just got done talking about him butchering a field goal situation with a rookie kicker because he decided he'd had enough. That's bad coaching. It is. Also, just not being ready to like figure out a way to surmount the loss of Kyle Hamilton in the game. Not great coaching. Like, part of doing a good job is finding a way when your best offensive player's out, which Mike did, by the way, with no TJ Watt.
Yeah, they went to Detroit and won.
I understand that he had time to prep for it, but Kyle Hamilton goes out and that house of cards falls apart. I think that comes back on your coaching. It has to. Mike also presided over a team that won the game and scored 26 points and racked up almost 400 yards without his best receiver.
And Rodgers played well, and Rodgers is here because of Mike. And when they embraced after the game, Rodgers said again to Mike privately, thanks for letting me come here. So there's that. Here's Ken on the fan. Hello, Ken.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Great. What's up?
Kudos for you and your theme today. If you're a Steeler fan and you watch that game and just can't take for the week anyway that your team played violent, your team came to play, your coach played to win, your offense was dialed in at the fourth quarter when you needed it most, if you can't see that as a fan, even with all the warts and blemishes for the whole season, then you know what? Turn in your terrible towel and go call up Cleveland Station, because you guys are spot on. It's refreshing, even if it's just for a week, to just take a deep collective breath and say, that was our team out there. That's the team we expected. That's the team that showed up, and that's the team that put our arch rival into the ground and sent them golfing for the season.
Thanks, Ken. I also think that you're allowed to revel in the Ravens or like the Patriots when they were really good. I think it's great. Like, it's perfectly acceptable and predictable fan behavior to revel in their misfortune too, especially when you're the person that's
almost
providing it.
That's almost better than your team doing well, is reveling when a team you absolutely hate just completely, you know, gags.
Yes.
Not everyone swayed though by you, Pony, like Ken was. This text: Tomlin still sucks. Pony is turning soft in his 40s. Now you're getting accused of just becoming an old softy, a grandpa in waiting here.
But why would you want to say after a game like that the coach sucked?
Because I think people, broadly speaking, if I'm going to pause the truce for a second, felt like yesterday just as... I saw Instagram stories of this. People like I know who I went to high school with saying, great, wonderful win. They're going to lose this coming Monday, and winning that game guaranteed 3 to 5 more years of the same crap with Mike. I think this well has become so poisoned beyond belief that people, I think, also are potentially mistakenly believing that Mike is going to actually want to do this for 3 to 5 more years here. I don't think that's a guarantee whatsoever. Now, maybe I'm going to end up being proven wrong, and all he wants to ever do is be the Steelers head coach for as long as they'll let him do it. Does he strike you as a guy who definitively wants to coach here 3 to 5 more years? I don't think that's the case.
Well, no, but I would be lying to you if I didn't watch that game and how it ended and how it played out and think, does he really want to turn off the endorphin rush that is winning games like this to take the elevator up to the booth and just describe what's happening?
Okay, so here, I'll give you one more. Fake John and Robinson messaged me after I said it's people like him or they don't like him, and that colors how they feel about his actions. He said, it's not simply whether people like him or don't. If you want something resembling a build by this franchise towards being a consistent contender, him kissing at the camera was a, quote, see haters moment. It changes nothing to the fact that the Steelers are now looking at another half decade of this kind of stuff. Like, that was basically, oh, you guys said I was going to lose. You guys hate me. Well, look, I'm still here. I'm still
standing.
So
he subscribes to the Dokish theory that it was
just telling off the haters.
Like,
what
it just
he
did not
to.
It did not sit well with him.
Well, because I think in fake
John's
case,
he thinks it symbolizes and represents, like, I know what I'm doing. You guys need to shut the hell up.
Yeah, you guys constantly hit me with this noise.
How do you like me now?
Yeah, but to that point, by the way, how do you like me now does feel hollow unless you win a playoff game, finally, and get yourself into the final 8. Because if it's how do you like me now for going 10-7 and winning, admittedly, like an unbelievably entertaining, thrilling game.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose this week, how do you like me now lasted for how many hours? 100 and some odd hours?
I think it's somewhere between, though. Like, let me draw this analogy. I think when they won 3 in a row and made the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and won that game in Baltimore in the rain, and then we watched the next day in surprise when the Jags were a huge favorite and got beat by Derrick Henry's Titans when Mike Vrabel was getting fired the next day and they were one of the worst teams in the NFL and they got in.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day we came on the air and we're like, I don't know how good this team is, but this is really cool. This is pretty neat that this team rallied late in the season behind this folk hero quarterback that everybody wrote off, and now they're going to play an extra game. And when they lost to Buffalo, I do remember still thinking and hearing most of our listeners be like, this sucks. We got blown out again in a playoff loss. Like, it negated a lot of the magic that came with the Mason Rudolph run. I think that the way they won the game last night is going to dull some of the pain if they lose to Houston. Not all of it, by a long shot. It's not going to make it acceptable or necessarily forgivable. But I do think that team like rallied to just be the third wild card team.
Do you think internally
this team won the division?
Do you think they're also though seen as easily the weakest team in the AFC field? if we're talking like as a practical matter, they have the lowest chances. You can go look at any power ranking the field, whatever.
You're right.
I think
they're not a touchdown underdog or a double digit underdog like say Carolina
They're a 3.5 point dog. I think the problem a lot of people would have though is they'd feel like winning this game internally for the Steelers reconfirms their priors. Just we know what we're doing. Our way is still going to work. The reason there was like I think a lot of frustration after the Rudolph win and then getting in and losing is you knew by extension that was pretty much the end of Kenny Pickett and that was a first round pick failure.
Yep.
This is kind of in the wind. Nobody really knows what they're going to do at quarterback. I just think a lot of people would see this and say, how can this be a validation of a process that to this point yet still hasn't yielded a playoff win in forever?
Not here, but I would say this process has worked for other teams.
Well, when you say this process, like I'm talking about specifically the Steelers, the way they've done their business for a while
so
now.
So am I. I'm talking about...
Who's it worked for?
It's worked Steelers for Denver and Tampa.
How are you, like, veteran quarterback, you mean? So
yes.
The Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Yeah, like, veteran Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame, multi-time MVP, in the conversation for greatest quarterback of all time. Two teams went that route and won Super Bowls.
Brady was still playing at a much higher consistent level than Rodgers, obviously. Manning wasn't, but that Broncos defense was better than this defense by probably a significant amount.
Yeah, but just like I said to you before, I think it was the Detroit game when we were, like, having, like, arguments about how good Rodgers could be or is or whatever, and I said I still think he's got MVP performances in him. Not saying he can string them along, not saying he can do it consistently, but I think he can still have a game or two like that. And in the second half of last night's game, I think he did that again. He did that, I think, in the first Baltimore game. So I do think he still can. I mean, he can absolutely be better than Manning was when Steelers and won the Super Bowl 10 years ago.
That Manning, I think, is going to go down as one of the ultimate all-time like modern era outliers as far as what you were getting from your quarterback and then what actually your team got. The year Brady took Tampa to the Super Bowl, the guy threw 40 touchdowns.
I mean,
he was still by any metric, one of the five best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, but I mean, there's even more historic examples. You've got Warner and the Cardinals losing to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Before that, you've got Montana in Kansas City getting to an AFC Championship game. People have used this blueprint before.
It just requires you to be like nearly perfect in every other phase, and it requires basically when you get that little window of maybe there's going to be. Rodgers dropped back a bunch. There's what, like probably 10 elite reps from him last night, like drop back and make a really good play. You better use them to the absolute maximum efficacy.
Here is our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yes.
I will say that I didn't expect them to win last night. Pleasantly surprised. For all the people that are going to stick to their guns because they just hate Tomlin so much, I mean, here's the thing. Do I still think that for the long-term health of the franchise, they should move on? Yes. It's also kind of the same reason why I didn't really want Rodgers when all that talk was happening in the offseason. But guess what? They're here. Like, this is your team. Like, I'm obviously going to root for them to succeed in the moment. And I just don't understand. I mean, it's not like Tomlin is, you know, committing crimes or breaking international laws or sending people to war. This is sports. So it's like, it's your team. You should root for him to succeed if he's going to be the guy. And I'm absolutely doing that. And as far as the matchup going forward next week with Houston, I think it really comes down to this. It's as simple as, are we going to get good Rodgers or are we going to get bad Rodgers? Because the defense has been largely disappointing this year. Like, the defense has played, what, 3 good games this year? I think about their 7 losses, one of which they didn't have Rodgers in, and then the other 6, he only played well in the Cincinnati loss on Thursday night. He played really well, and the defense was just that bad. He was really bad in the other 5 losses, and it's like, because he's 42, he can't string together multiple games in a row where he's elite, but can he do 2 or 3? Maybe. I don't think he can do 4 in a row. So, I mean, it really comes down to just because the defense has been that bad this year, or disappointing, I should say, are we going to get good Rodgers or are we going to get bad Rodgers?
Well, that's the point on Tomlin, too, where, like, I understand once the conversation gets spun forward to the game on Monday, I do think there's the potential for some frustration with him in that Houston comes in with the number one defense in the NFL. Why did it happen there this season but not here? I mean, their whole, the whole foundation for their defense is the fact that they've got Hunter and Anderson. They've got these two bookend edge rushers that wreak havoc and create
shutdown chaos. Corner and Stingley.
Yes.
Like an ultimate shutdown corner.
Okay, so maybe the Steelers don't have quite that. I mean, Porter's had a really good year, and they brought Ramsey in and paid him big money. They've got, the Steelers have three elite edge rushers for me. They've got Watt, they've got Highsmith, they've got Herbig. They've got three, they've got two. And they've used that formula to produce the best defense in the NFL. And by all the metrics, the Steelers are middle of the pack. Can they have their moments? Yes. Can they take the ball away like they did in the Colts game? Sure. Can they have games where they shut down the run? Absolutely. But by and large, they've been an average unit for this entire season. And average just isn't going to cut it in the playoffs.
It might against the Texans if you can get to their offense in like, what, race to 12
points. No, but I'm saying if you're a great, to your, I think what you're trying to say is, yeah, like the Texans defense, the Texans offense isn't that good. A great defense would hold the Texans offense to under 17 points when they come in here Monday night.
I mean, a great
period.
Yeah, a great defense would make it a true, like, legit race to 13. First team to get their wins. And they're not. I mean, the Texans also just have two of their highest profile draft picks of recent years playing starring roles. And, like, that hasn't always happened for the Steelers. They've used a lot of capital on both sides of the ball. But in general, it's just a story of good drafting. They run the defense the Steelers would love to run, and Mike would love to run.
But I will say about their last two first-round picks, I do me likey, as the kids say.
No, Fautanu looks
Fautanu
like an animal.
Fautanu and Harmon look like dudes.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And apparently the guy that I thought was going to be the best left tackle in franchise history might get usurped
by
an undrafted 27-year-old former quarterback.
Texas on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan. Text line personal law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
First one in 5 years. It's awesome, man. All ups and downs. That me personally been in the organization, but the team in general, being able to get this for Coach T.
You said you had this for Coach T. What do you mean by that? Did you feel like you needed him?
You guys know what I meant by that.
No, but can you elaborate on that? I mean,
yeah.
There's been a lot of...
A lot of talk, yeah. Man, I mean, Coach T is the best coach I ever played for. And I think a lot of people in this locker room feel the same way. And he's one of one. You know, we wouldn't be here without him. He instills belief. He instills confidence in us. And I'm just super grateful to be here with him.
And for 95% of the season, Mike Tomlin ignored that guy. And yet there was Pat Freiermuth singing his praises after last night's win, saying it was good to get this win for Coach T. All the discussion about his future and whether he should be fired or not, whether his time should be up as Steelers head coach, also added that Tomlin was the best coach he'd ever played for. Well, I don't know Pat's high school coach. I do know his college coach, James Franklin, and I would agree with him on that. I don't think that that's much of a contest. Mike's been to the top of the mountain and won a Super Bowl. James, anytime he was in a matchup with a good team, for the most part, lost.
Wasn't James more like Sisyphus? He'd push that ball most of the way up the mountain only to find it rolling
he
back
had
on him.
One top five win?
It was against Ohio State on the blocked field goal. Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen. Who, remember, he got that penalty in Carolina for
going into the other team's huddle, just like joking around. Yeah, that was a weird one.
So now Freiermuth loves Tomlin again. Maybe he did all along, but Tomlin had a funny way of showing it back. Steelers win, jubilation here. After the Browns game, it felt pretty bleak as far as the outlook. I think some people, even Chris, would say or thought, okay, the Steelers can come back and beat the Ravens and make the playoffs, but that wouldn't really make things better. I do feel like you've done a little bit of a 180 on that, where your feelings towards the Steelers have changed dramatically.
Most of that's because they won a game in a way I didn't think they were going to win it. If you had told me Henry's going to get 100 yards in the first half, if you had told me Jackson, again, I will say he's not the runner that he normally is when he's healthy because he's banged up. He made one like legitimate hero ball play, dodging two guys and hitting what seemed like a back-breaking touchdown. I'm not even going to give him a ton of credit for the other two touchdown passes because they were literally wide open, great scheme ups. The pass to Likely, I thought, was a great throw, great catch, and a gotta-have-it moment. Like, he got them in position until his coach decided that was good enough. Don't need you to do anything other than take a knee. If you had told me that stuff was going to happen, Boswell's going to miss an extra point at, like, the worst possible, most foreboding time.
Jeez.
By the way, Pop called that before it happened. He said, they're going to lose this game, 27-26. Boswell's going to miss an extra point, and then the Ravens are going to score. If you told me all that was going to happen, right, and that Rodgers is going to look like bad Rodgers for most of the first half where he just isn't challenging them down the field, I'm going to be like, well, yeah, that's – and then you'd say, by the way, Chris, they actually end up winning that game and putting up 400 yards of offense. Yeah, it's going to be different. Like, they didn't win a rock fight. They didn't have to ugly it up. They actually played a Ravens team that was generating explosive plays left and right on their own terms for that final quarter or so. And they came out on the other side of it. Like, I have to give them some credit for that, man, because I did not think they could win the game the way they won it.
Do you finally feel good about the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Here's someone who's calling himself the Jeanette Rat on the fan. Hello, Jeanette Rat.
Gentlemen, it's an immaculate day. And the only two names that I think I could come up with for last night's miracle is either the Immaculate Diversion or the Immaculate Consecration. Now, you can stew on that for a bit, but I also think there's a couple from the past that we never gave names to. One was Cowher's first year when Rod Woodson created a fumble against from Alonzo Highsmith of the Oilers, when all they had to do was hold on to the ball to beat the Steelers. And I called that the act of Rod. And then there was, of course, the 05 Super Bowl year, when when Ben tackled Nick Harper.
Yep.
And another field goal went wide right.
Yep.
Do you remember what happened the night before to Nick Harper?
He got stabbed.
I call that the Immaculate Laceration. So those are my votes for let's bring some all-time achievement.
Hey,
awards
Jeanette
in.
Ratt.
Thank you, Jeanette
would you like
Ratt.
To call yes. it the Catholic crosswind?
Well, how about the priestly, gotta,
how about the priestly push?
We got to stick to the discipline of consecration or diversion. Someone said deflection, but that requires a hand to hit it.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. I didn't like the deflection one.
The act of rod. So he called in just basically to get the act of rod jokes out there?
There's some debate over now what the priest did, and maybe that's why the Steelers are being protective over him and telling
debate
St.
How.
Vincent College don't make him available for interviews.
Debate how.
So Will Graves, you know, chronic panelist on the Sports Showdown with
you
Pop.
You make it sound like being a Showdown panelist is a condition.
I
that
just
one
feel like he's always
from.
On it, which is cool. I mean, I think Will does a good job, but I just every time I turn it on or I'm a part of it, Will's there, which is great.
Okay.
But his real job is with the Associated Press, so he's at every Steelers game. He tweeted out that we got it wrong. The priest blessed the other end zone.
He blessed an end zone.
The priest actually blessed the end zone where Boswell missed the extra point.
Maybe the Catholic crosswind started in the other end zone.
So Jenna Harner, who was the first person to get video of this, and she went unbelievably viral for it from Channel 11, she corrected Will and said, actually, he did both.
It looked like one of the videos that she got was in the end zone where Luke missed the kick.
So
it seemed pretty obvious.
So he did both. So he'll go around, I guess.
God, Jenna, 4 million views on the original, and it's just a tweet that says a priest just blessed the field
with
holy
water. Is she verified?
No.
Oh, my God. That's like 4 million. She would have made thousands of dollars off of that tweet alone, according to Kabali.
That's a good point, actually. She should immediately get the blue check. Just imagine you're one of these grounds crew guys talking. I'm just watching the video. You know, make sure you get some in the front corner, too, in case we got a Mike Wallace situation.
Okay, I have to confess this, Father, or Monsignor, whatever he is. Right? Isn't Monsignor bigger than Priest?
I no, was like, Monsignor's an order of monks,
oh,
I believe.
Because no. I remember getting chastised by a nun for that.
Really?
And when I was taking my confirmation
Monsignor's
classes.
An honorific.
He's
it's an honorific title.
Like, she... Look, she said he's a Monsignor.
Yeah, that's
like,
a Catholic.
Okay, sorry,
that's like
my
a
bad.
That's a formal like. Honorific.
He was in robes and he performed mass, so I you know kind of okay. figured he was a priest. My fault. Anyways,
like these guys get to. Okay, so Donnie telling me it's technically higher than a like a regular priest.
So I'm right. Monsignor
he gets to wear
is
he gets to wear special
a
garb,
above.
Clerical dress, like it has purple trim. So yes, it sounds like if you've elevated yourself to Monsignor status.
You're not a cardinal yet, or a bishop,
well, you know
but you're on
is?
Maybe that path.
I'll even say this here. Ready for some Catholic Church knowledge? It's like a parochial vicar is your regular priest in a church, but then your priest or your church would have a pastor who outranks
well, anyways,
that guy.
I do think it loses a little bit of its luster if he did both end zones. It's way cooler if he picked one, and that's where the game got lost.
What if the blessing, since he did both and there were two huge missed kicks, just means that God doesn't like kickers at all? Thinks they should be out of the game. Make this a four-down game. Still, the whole story is just, it's a delight. I really do love that it happened that way. I still can't, we played it a half hour ago, whatever it was. I still can't get over how excited Rod Woodson sounds on the Ravens' call that the kick doesn't go. He absolutely forgets who he's working for here.
Luke's kick is on the way. It
he
is
missed
up.
It.
It is no good.
He missed it.
He pushed it wide to the right.
Yeah, he did forget he was a Ravens color guy and not an all-time great. Well, he remembered that he was an all-time great Steeler there. Here's our number one fan, Big Ed in Bakersfield. Hello, Big Ed.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Pretty
Big
good,
Ed, did you believe? Were you a believer that this was going to happen?
Big Ed in the house.
Yes, I was a believer, for sure.
And all is forgiven with Mike Tomlin, right, Big Ed?
No, but it didn't matter to me. I wanted to call when we beat Detroit and tell you I want to put his job situation on hold till the season is over, no matter what happens the next 2 weeks. I don't care. I want to win out. We didn't. That Browns game is a Browns game. It's ugly. It's always ugly. It is what it is. But the way they played last night with no DK, I am excited for this Monday night game.
Did you watch it in your classic garb of the overalls and the big giant Steelers logo?
I was actually at work. I was at work on a train sneaking views because you can't be on your phone on the train. So I would go down every chance I got to look, and then so it was hard for me. I was stressing.
Did you see
you're a conductor, to be very clear, right?
I'm a conductor. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. You definitely can't be on your phone, dude.
Did you see the loop miss live?
Yes, I actually had just gotten off the train. I think I was a little bit behind because people were starting to text me. But I was a little bit behind when I saw it. I was yelling. There was dudes in the office. I had no idea what the hell was going on. But it is what it is, man. That's football.
Oh, we lost him there.
Can I give you the, I think, the saddest.
Thank you, Big Ed.
The saddest tweet from anybody watching that game as far as like FOMO, fear of missing out. Last night, this was, I watched this and could not believe this tweet was being sent. This is at 11:49. At 10:23, Josh Rountree tweets, Cam Hayward is a man possessed.
Okay.
Next tweet, 11:49, Josh Rountree, been on a plane with no Wi-Fi for the last hour. That hurts.
Because he was flying back from the Pitt women's game.
He missed the entire thing.
I got to be honest with you. You know what I would have done if
paid
I were him?
For the Wi-Fi?
No.
Not gone on the plane?
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten on the plane. Yeah, okay. I would have watched it at Logan, and then I would have just gotten on another plane or rented a car.
Doesn't he fly like with the team?
Yes.
So you just say, I'm not doing that. I'm watching this football game and driving 9 hours instead of flying one.
Yeah, or get on another flight later.
Just to say,
write it off as a work expense.
There's the risk that you're going to watch your team lose the game.
So what? You want to be able to see it for yourself and not hear about it a second. Because he couldn't. Here's one thing. Could he like detach himself, turn his phone off, and then just try to watch it?
No, I think he probably
for
had
real
it.
When he got home at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Pretty
or whatever
sure somebody
it was.
Probably said, "Hey, Josh, guess what? You'll never believe it. They won. Tyler Loop missed a field goal." That's painful though for him.
That's not as bad though as PJ Komanchik from next door missing the Santonio Holmes touchdown at the Super Bowl, and he was there because he had to go down from the press box to field level and he missed the play. He's in the stadium. He hears the reaction to it. He feels the rumbling and the vibrations of the sections of the stadium shaking, but he never saw it.
Which and how many, because it might be more than one, how many Rooneys missed the Immaculate Reception? I know there's an apocryphal, not even apocryphal, I think it happened.
Art did.
Art was in the elevator.
Chief did, yeah.
Tim Benz, by the way, on the opposite end, has any media member ever had a greater moment of fame than Benz being in the background of the Holmes play?
There's a young Pharrell that's jumping up and down when Gary Anderson kicks the field goal against the Oilers.
In 89?
In 89, yeah.
Really?
And he said, I was in a suit and I was there to cover the game and I didn't give a crap and just started celebrating like my team had won the Super Bowl and I started screaming at Oilers fans, go F yourself.
That sounds like something Scott Pharrell would do. That sounds about right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It is time for not the final edition of Donnie Football's Game Balls. Thank you, Tyler Loop. And we will not give him, I don't think, a game ball for missing the kick and sending the Steelers to the playoffs, or maybe Donnie will. By the way, listen to Donnie on Fridays with Starkey for another Football Friday. Listen to Starkey on Wednesday to hear about his card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon. 93.7thefan.com contesting page. All right, Donnie, I went three Steelers here. I know it was 26-24. I know it was a close game, but I thought that three Steelers deserved to get game balls for this incredible victory. Did you agree with me?
Yeah, I also have three Steelers in there. The only Raven got an also receiving votes.
Would it have been Jackson or Flowers for you?
I gave Flowers one of them.
Jackson had a weird game because, like,
he really wasn't good in the first half.
But then he was.
Then he turned it on.
He was insane.
I mean, he and Rodgers both really turned it on.
It was just a classic, like, duel of, what, six MVPs between the two of them, and they were both just making baller plays left and right.
I think I would have given Derrick Henry a game ball if the Ravens had won. I'm not
for
saying
what,
game
going
ball
into halftime
one.
And telling like John Harbaugh, you know what? Stop giving me the ball.
He also had, it was a classic, let's stop giving Derrick Henry the ball. But I will credit the Steelers defense a ton. They held him to what, 12 yards in the second half?
Yep. The times that 14. He got it, he did nothing with
when
it.
When they had designed runs in the fourth quarter called, they got four carries to the Ravens for 5 yards.
All right, Donnie. Game ball number three.
Alex Highsmith, number three.
Interesting.
Sack, couple of tackles for loss. He could have finished up Lamar Jackson on one of those touchdowns.
Oh, God,
Still really don't know what happened there.
I have a theory
but
on it.
I think Highsmith has been playing at an extremely high level, and he was on it again last night.
He played big boy ball for sure. Oh, sorry, Pony.
Here he is talking about his reaction to Loop missing the field goal.
I mean, I'm just sitting there. I was in an angle where I couldn't really see the kick, but I saw a kick, and I saw the fans going crazy. And it was like we just started jumping up, hugging everybody, so it's a good feeling. But, this is just a step. We got bigger goals, and, we're going to get to those.
Donnie, did you have a great view of it?
You're in the end zones, right?
Yeah, but even there, like, it going right, I guess, and not left, like, it's really tough unless you're right behind.
Does it blend in with the crowd, the color of the ball, so it's a little...
So what was your fan reaction, or did you see the refs wave no good?
Mine was more the fan reaction, because, like, the moment you saw it to start go right, like, the fans that were
that
right
there... That
had to
be an absolute roar going up.
Going bonkers.
Game ball number two.
I gave it to Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
Number two. I was a little bit worried about where we were 30 minutes in. He made the comment last week about I've never really had two stinkers in a row. And I thought, well, he's about 30 minutes away from doing it. And he's about 30 minutes away from doing it when the division's on the line. But the man ramped it up. He and Jackson turned it into a shootout down the stretch.
Here's Tomlin on Rodgers' performance.
You know, I've admired him from afar for a long time. It's good to do it with him. But again, as I've said multiple times here in recent weeks, this was the vision in the spring when we pursued him. That's why you do business with a 41, 42-year-old guy. Been there, done that guy with a resume like his. He's not only capable, man, he thrives in it. And I think he put that on display tonight.
All right, I had Rodgers number one. You had him number two. I'm guessing we just flipped one and two because your number one game ball for the Steelers, 26-24 win over the Ravens, goes to
Cam Hayward.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Cam was awesome, man. I mean, I was very worried on that very first long Henry run, too.
So was I.
Because you see a big guy go down and you see somebody kind of cut at his legs. And I'm thinking, man, if they lose him for this one, it's not going to be good. I mean, Henry just took it 65 yards on the first play. What's the rest of this game going to look like? He comes back in. They made some like funny comparison to him, like to a frog on the broadcast.
And they played Crash Bandicoot music, Mulsey.
remember that game? With that one.
That's a PlayStation
game. I was never a Crash Bandicoot back in the day. Guy. Earthworm Jim, maybe.
But, I mean, the guy is 36 years old, and I know that people have awesome been game. Really, really resilient to give him any sort of credit because he caused a stir about money, and we know that that throws up red flags over everybody in the fan base when that happens, when a player complains about money. I mean,
the guy
is playing at an incredibly high level at 36 years old.
And I thought wrongly his brother caught crap for that, too.
He's proven to be a pretty useful player.
Exactly. He has a niche with this team now, and he has done it for the most part well, including scoring a touchdown in this game.
The true brotherly shove. That had to be Cam's first offensive snaps of his career.
Yes, I think so. I can't think of another time. They've never used him as like a fullback type.
No. He's on the field goal team.
Here was Hayward's message to the team after the this is what he said before the game about the game.
We waited for this opportunity for a year to be back in this situation. We're out of excuses. If we're going to win this game, it's about trying to stop that high-powered offense over there. We got to be the reason why we win. We don't have to look anywhere else. Hopefully, we've lost our last game.
I enjoyed because Henry's such a fear factor guy. You got to kind of remember that, like, when they're showing Derrick Henry highlights of him stiff-arming people, it's usually corners, maybe safeties, the undersized linebacker. They ran him right up the middle on one play, and Hayward was just standing there and just pummeled him into the dirt. Like, just absolutely crushed him. Not as hard as the Spillane hit, but it was like, you remember that, oh, Henry's a big dude because he's 6'2", 255, and he can sprint. Mm-hmm. Cam Hayward's 6'5", 300, and full of, like, angry dad rage. By the way, I do have a theory on the Highsmith. The Jackson touchdown. You watch the replay. I think it's one of their guards is getting back to try to cut Highsmith off from the end zone angle. And Highsmith like slows up a little bit because I think he sees that guard, even though he probably could have still gotten there. Benton, instead of just running straight at Jackson, I think tried to take like a weird angle to fence him in, and it gave him the literal space of his own body.
I still don't understand how you set up a play where schematically it's Patrick Queen who's on Zay Flowers. Even though he should have been sacked.
From the franchise that brought you, what, Mark Barron versus Keenan Allen or whoever it was?
John
Bostic.
I mean,
Spillane used to do that all the time, too.
Yep.
I know.
Your game balls for that dramatic Steelers win. Alex Highsmith, 3. Aaron Rodgers, 2. Cam Hayward, 1. Donnie Football's balls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.